This is the Voice Overwork podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at Power of Discipline, How to Use Self-Control and Mental Toughness to Achieve Your Goals, written by Daniel Walter, narrated by Russell Newton. Introduction. Join a gym. Start a healthy eating plan. Save more money. Stop smoking. The list of New Year's resolutions is endless, but how many of them are ever accomplished? According to Scranton psychology professor John C. Norcross, Ph.D., less than 10% of New Year's resolutions are achieved. If you are listening to this audiobook, there's a good chance that you fall into the large percentage of people who have spent years failing to reach their goals. What's the reason for this? Why is it that the majority of us are incapable of sticking to anything worthwhile? Is failure a natural human tendency? The answer is a simple one: a lack of self-discipline. This audiobook is about taking full responsibility for where you are now and where you want to be in the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years. You will develop the most important skill required to achieve the life you desire: self-discipline. Kurt Kottmeyer has spent over 50 years researching and studying success principles and has written several books about the secrets of success. One day, during a meeting, success coach Brian Tracy asked Kottmeyer to explain which principles, out of all those he has discovered, was most important for success. He responded, "There are 999 other success principles that I've found in my reading and experience, but without self-discipline, none of them work." Self-discipline is like a key. It unlocks the door to personal fulfillment and opens the door to the life you've been dreaming of. With self-discipline, the average person can rise further than intelligence and talents alone will take them, and the ordinary person can... Have you spent weeks, months, or even years trying to achieve your goals but keep failing? Have you given up on becoming successful because your futile efforts have led you to believe that success is only for the select few? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, don't worry, there is still hope for you. Before you can achieve anything in life, you need a solid foundation of self-discipline. Talent, intelligence, and skill are only a part of the equation. Positive thinking, affirmations, and vision boards are only a part of the equation. If you want to turn your dreams into reality, you need self-discipline. Self-discipline is what will keep you focused when all hell is breaking loose and it looks like you're one step away from failure. It will give you the mental toughness required to dismantle the limitations you've placed on yourself and break through all the obstacles standing in the way of your goals. How would you feel if I told you that your inability to achieve your goals does not arise because you're lazy or lack drive, but rather it's a problem because you've never been taught how to practice self-discipline? People are not born with self-discipline. Like driving or playing tennis, it's a skill that you learn. In The Power of Discipline, you will gain access to easy-to-read scientific explanations about self-discipline, including how to master self-discipline by targeting certain areas of the brain, the Navy SEALs' secrets to self-discipline, the Zen Buddhist's secrets to self-discipline, how to make hard work exciting, how to ditch your bad habits and adopt the habits of successful people, strategies to keep going when your motivation runs out, and much, much more. By applying the principles in this audiobook, you... Disclaimer: this audiobook is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. By its sale, neither the publisher nor the author is engaged in rendering psychological or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Introduction. Join a gym. Start a healthy eating plan. Save more money. Stop smoking. The list of New Year's resolutions is endless, but how many of them are ever accomplished? According to Scranton psychology professor John C. Norcross, Ph.D., less than 10% of New Year's resolutions are achieved. If you are listening to this audiobook, there's a good chance that you fall into the large percentage of people who have spent years failing to reach their goals. What's the reason for this? Why is it that the majority of us are incapable of sticking to anything worthwhile? Is failure a natural human tendency? The answer is a simple one: a lack of self-discipline. This audiobook is about taking full responsibility for where you are now and where you want to be in the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years. You will develop the most important skill required to achieve the life you desire: self-discipline. Kurt Kottmeyer has spent over 50 years researching and studying success principles and has written several books about the secrets of success. One day, during a meeting, success coach Brian Tracy asked Kottmeyer to explain which principles, out of all those he has discovered, was most important for success. He responded, "There are 999 other success principles that I've found in my reading and experience, but without self-discipline, none of them work." Self-discipline is like a key. It unlocks the door to personal fulfillment and opens the door to the life you've been dreaming of. With self-discipline, the average person can rise further than intelligence and talents alone will take them, and the ordinary person can be your free gift. As a way of saying thank you for downloading this book, I'm offering the ebook, The Art of Minimalism, A Simple Guide to Declutter and Organize Your Life, for free. It was written by a close friend of mine named Olivia Telford, who has kindly allowed me to share it with you. With The Art of Minimalism, you'll discover how to be happier with less, declutter, and simplify your life. People who practice minimalism experience clarity, peace of mind, stronger relationships, and true lasting happiness. You too can experience the amazing benefits of becoming a minimalist by getting this free book now. To receive your free gift, visit www.pristinepublish.com/declutter. Dedication. To my brother Jack, who has always believed in me and given me the strength to let my talents shine through. Also by Daniel Walter. 10-Minute Focus, 25 Habits for Mastering Your Concentration and Eliminating Distractions. Take Back Your Day, How Simple Daily Actions Can Change Your Life. The Productivity Blueprint, 2-in-1 Bundle, 10-Minute Focus, and Take Back Your Day. Chapter 1, Self-Discipline, The Biological Argument. The assumption is that some people are endowed with self-discipline and others are not. But this is not the case. There is a science to self-discipline, and if you want more of it in your life, it will help you get a better understanding of its biological basis. In this chapter, you will learn about the biology of self-discipline and how you can target certain areas of the brain to improve it. The human brain contains an estimated 100 billion neurons, the minuscule cells responsible for our behaviors and thoughts. Neuroscientists Todd Hare and Colin Kammerer conducted a study in 2009 in which they used functional magnetic resonance imaging machines, fMRIs, to record the brain activity that takes place when people are engaging in tasks that require them to use self-control and discipline. The participants were given a choice between accepting a small financial reward at the immediate conclusion of the study or a larger financial reward at a later date. The researchers induced the classic battle between delayed gratification and willpower. They discovered that there was a high level of activity in two areas of the brain called the ventral medial prefrontal cortex and the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex when participants were making decisions based on the choices made immediately or in the future. The activity in these regions of the brain was higher when choices were made that would benefit them in the long term. The study concluded that some people find self-discipline easier than others based on the activity and the structure of their prefrontal cortex. The findings of this research are very significant. Chapter 2, The Benefits of Self-Discipline. Self-discipline is required for every area of life, but most people don't realize it because society has taught us to float through life on autopilot. I believe that one of the most underrated reasons for the breakdown of the family is a lack of self-discipline. If your partner's cheating or exhibiting other issues, one of the underlying causes is their inability to control their urges towards the opposite sex. If your partner is running up credit card bills or has other financial issues, one of the reasons is their inability to control their spending habits. In other words, your level of self-discipline will control your level of success in your place of employment, relationships, finances, academics, etc. There are many benefits associated with self-discipline. Raises your self-confidence. A lack of self-discipline contributes to low self-esteem. There are many reasons people suffer from low self-esteem, and one of them is that they are not where they need to be in life. People set goals all the time, especially at the beginning of the year, but by the second or third month, they've lapsed back into old habits and their goals are forgotten. Most people fail in life because they don't do what is required for success. The person who wants to lose weight sits on the couch eating burgers, flipping through magazines, and wishing they could wear a bathing suit on vacation. You will never get into a bathing suit sitting in front of the TV dreaming. You want to start earning more money but can't find the motivation to start learning about being self-employed. Inactivity leads to one place, failure. And when 5 or 10 years pass us by in the blink of an eye, and we're still stuck in a place we know we don't want to be, a feeling of worthlessness sets in. Chapter 3, The Status Quo Bias, Why We Resist Change. I applaud you for wanting to improve your self-discipline, but it's important to understand that this is not an easy task. Along your journey, you're going to experience mental blockages that prevent you from moving forward. Some people give up altogether when they encounter this type of obstacle and assume that this path is only for the select few. However, when you're familiar with the psychology of self-discipline, you will find it easier to overcome such challenges, which is the main focus of this chapter. You may know exactly what you want to achieve. You've conquered your fear of failure and your self-discipline levels are improving. Unfortunately, sometimes it feels as if there's an invisible force holding you back. This is extremely frustrating and very common, so please, don't feel like you're the only one experiencing it. In this chapter, you will learn about a psychological phenomenon called the status quo bias and how it can attack the most self-disciplined and determined individuals. The good news is that once you understand how it works, you can fight against it and continue pushing towards your goals. The sunk cost fallacy. In psychology, one of the most well-known self-defeating behaviors is the sunk cost fallacy. It explains why people remain stuck in their circumstances, even though they would rather be elsewhere. Some examples are staying in an unfulfilling relationship, or keeping a safe but boring job, even though you have the opportunity to get better employment. The status quo bias describes the human disposition to cling to what we're familiar with instead of reaching for the unknown. Similar to the Pareto principle discussed in Chapter 4, A Reality Check, The Dunning-Kruger Effect. Confidence is a great thing. It's important that you know what you're good at and you don't doubt yourself in that area. However, it is equally as important that you're familiar with your weaknesses. In this chapter, you'll learn about the dangers associated with the inability to assess your competencies and how you can protect yourself against it. We all know someone who's out of touch with reality when it comes to assessing their skills. For example, the coworker who thinks they've got such a good sense of humor, but their jokes are never funny. You might not have this problem, but it's helpful to understand it, as you never know what the future holds. The Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect occurs when an individual is not only incompetent in a certain area, but fails to realize how bad they are at it. The person suffering from this issue has what is referred to as a double burden, which means they are continuously making mistakes in the same area. It is difficult for people to correct them because they are completely ignorant of their deficiencies. Instead of trying to improve their skills, they'll continue moving in that direction because they truly believe in their abilities and will argue that their failure is because of bad luck. Psychologists David Dunning and Justin Kruger from Cornell University discovered that this phenomenon becomes apparent when people are tested on their humor, logic, and grammatical knowledge. They found that those who scored the lowest in these categories were less likely to believe they had a problem in these areas because they suffer from non-existent or weak metacomprehension, metamemory, and metacognition. They are incapable of evaluating their own... Chapter 5, Daily Habits to Improve Self-Discipline. Habits are routine behaviors performed without putting any conscious thought into them. Most of us don't need any motivation to brush our teeth in the morning. All parents train their children from an early age to brush their teeth when they wake up and before they go to bed at night. In adulthood, no matter how tired you are, you will brush your teeth in the morning and at night. The habit of brushing your teeth has been hardwired into your brain. The aim of this audiobook is for the actions required to achieve your dreams to become as natural as brushing your teeth, or as natural as some of the bad habits you currently have. Some of you listening to this have a bad habit of coming home from work and sitting in front of the TV until it's time to go to bed. My father had this habit, and as children, we knew his every move from the moment he walked through the door. He would greet us in the living room, go upstairs, take off his tie, use the bathroom, come downstairs, dish out a plate of food, and then sit in front of the TV. He did this Monday through Friday without fail. Your habits are a reflection of your character. Your habits become a part of your character, and some people take pride in the fact that they're known for something. If your friends always tell you to meet them an hour earlier than everyone else, it's because they know you're going to be late, which means you've got a bad habit of being late. Lateness is a part of your life. It's a negative cycle that starts with you going to bed late, waking up late, and then being late for everything else. Or you might binge eat when you're under pressure instead of confronting the issue. According to psychologists, habits of this nature are formed because of the connection between the stimulus and a response. Chapter 6, Tips for Building Better Habits. The Navy SEALs are some of the most disciplined people in the world. It is extremely difficult to become a SEAL. Admission requires strenuous training, and most soldiers who start the program leave before the end of the first stage. The soldiers who do complete it understand that the mind is more powerful than we can ever imagine. And because they have developed the mental fortitude required to succeed as a SEAL, they are equipped to accomplish any mission they're sent on. Here are some of the strategies the SEALs implement during training to get them through. The 40% rule. Everything starts in the mind. If you lift weights at the gym, you know that after a certain number of reps, your body feels as if it can't continue. But the 40% rule states that when the mind starts telling the body it's tired, we've only reached 40% of what we are capable of. At this point, it's up to you to choose to believe that you've still got another 60% left in you. To push past the 40% threshold, you must accept the mental and physical pain you are enduring at that moment. The majority of people never reach their full potential because as soon as they feel the burn, they're ready to give up. By applying the 40% rule, you begin to realize that you have unlimited potential. The key to tapping into this reservoir of potential is to ignore the voice in your head telling you it's time to throw in the towel and push through the pain. When you truly believe you're capable of more, you will shatter your pain points, which builds confidence and mental toughness. For example, after doing 10 pull-ups, you start hearing the voice in your head saying, "You're too tired." Chapter 7. What is hindering your discipline? Energy vampires are people who sap the life out of you with their negative attitude. But there are also things that can hinder your discipline and prevent you from becoming the best version of yourself. The majority of people understand that it takes discipline to get what you want out of life. So, why is it that most of us are incapable of becoming disciplined enough to reach our full potential? I am not an advocate of the blame game, as I believe we should all take responsibility for our own lives. However, there are some stealth ways that discipline can evade you without you realizing it. Maybe you are associating with the wrong people. You might have bad habits or crippling thought patterns you're not aware of. Your belief system about discipline might be wrong, or you may have the wrong motivations for what you want to achieve. The following factor may act as a hindrance to your discipline. Parkinson's Law. If you tend to procrastinate, one of the excuses you might use is that you work best when you're under pressure. Parkinson's Law validates this justification. A British historian named Cyril Parkinson developed Parkinson's Law, which argues that when we have a set amount of time available, we will fill that time with the work. Parkinson started paying attention to the trend while employed by the British Civil Service. He noticed that as their bureaucracies increased, efficiency decreased. As employees were given more space and time, they took up more space and time. Parkinson noticed that even the most basic tasks were subconsciously made more challenging to fill the allotted time. However, when there was a tight deadline, they simplified the task. Chapter 8. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. There is nothing comfortable about self-discipline. You don't need discipline to eat junk food and watch your favorite TV show because you enjoy doing those things. Unless they have a strong desire to achieve something, most people are not going to subject themselves to the discomfort of self-discipline. They're going to wake up just in time for work, eat when they're hungry, sleep when they're tired, etc. There is nothing you can do that is going to make self-discipline comfortable. We need endurance to overcome those feelings of discomfort and mental toughness to plow through the instincts that are enticing us to choose the path of least resistance. Practice being uncomfortable. In Chapter 1, you read about willpower being like a muscle that gets tired when it's used. But what this really means is that you can also strengthen your willpower, which involves doing things on a regular basis that make you feel uncomfortable, so that not only do you get familiar with the feeling of discomfort, but you get used to it. Stepping out of your comfort zone is important because it teaches you that your fears are not as great as you had imagined. One of the acronyms for fear is false evidence appearing real. The evidence is false because you are imagining it, but you've turned that thought into a reality in your mind. The only way to dismantle this is to step into that fear and realize that the evidence you had conjured up in your mind was false. Every time you step out of your comfort zone, both your willpower and tolerance for discomfort will increase. One of the most popular TED Talks came from Xia Zhang, in which he spoke about spending time living outside of his comfort zone. Zhang spent 100 days. Chapter 9. Focus on the system. All successful people have goals. Yes, this is true. People set weight loss goals, financial goals, academic goals, relationship goals. But how many people actually achieve those goals? Research suggests very few people achieve their goals. There's nothing wrong with the goals they're setting, but there is something wrong with the system they're following. When you set a goal, you're focused on the result you want to achieve, but a system is about the process you're going to undertake to get there. So, what would happen if you stopped focusing on the goal and focused on the system or strategy instead. For example, if a football coach wanted his team to win the championships, but instead of focusing on winning, focused on the daily practice habits of the team, could they win? Probably. The only way to win is to improve your playing skills, and you can only do that through practice. If you want to win in life, forget about focusing on the outcome. Focus on the system you're going to use to get to the outcome. Let me repeat. I am in no way stating that you shouldn't set goals. Goals are necessary. If you don't know where you are going, how are you going to develop a system to get there? However, if you spend too much time looking at your goals without putting a system in place to get there, you are going to fall into that 92% of people who fail their New Year's resolutions each year. What differentiates the winners from the losers? Everyone who competes in the Olympics wants to win, and everyone who goes to a job interview wants to get hired. So why is it that only one person gets the gold medal and only one person gets the job? Chapter 10, Zen Philosophy and Goal Attainment. Wouldn't it be brilliant if you were able to cope with all life's major challenges and keep moving forward with a smile on your face? Wouldn't you like to live a life free from the anxiety we experience when things don't work out according to plan? What about letting go of the fear of not having done enough with your life, or letting go of the fear of death? In this chapter, you're going to learn about the basics of Zen, an ancient philosophy that has enriched the Eastern lives for thousands of years. Its concepts will help you develop a greater level of self-discipline so that you can achieve your goals. Over the last 20 years, researchers in the self-development field and psychology have been studying the superior psychology health of Zen practitioners. Researchers at Penn State University have spent the last 10 years analyzing the effects of Zen practices. They have concluded that adding Zen practices, such as meditation, to your daily routine can reduce stress, help you make better decisions, and induce feelings of calm. Zen Buddhists hold a reservoir of wisdom about accomplishing goals, overcoming fear, and delaying gratification. All of these actions provide a powerful foundation for self-discipline. Zen is not a religion. It's regarded as a life experience based on the teachings of Buddha. Satori is a Japanese term similar to Zen, meaning flash of inspiration or first showing. To experience Zen, you must live in the present and have a deep belief that everything in the world is connected. To get a better understanding of Zen, gaining some insight into the life of Buddha will help. The Life of Buddha. Chapter 11, Meditation for Self-Discipline and Focus. In the last chapter, you read about how important meditation is for improving self-discipline. In this chapter, you'll learn a few basic exercises that will help improve your meditation skills. Some people might not be interested in meditation because they assume it's a boring practice that involves you sitting cross-legged for hours at a time humming. This is a totally false assumption. First of all, you don't need to remain seated for hours to meditate. Second, meditation is a lifestyle and not a practice, and that is the attitude you should have about it. Before going into specific meditation techniques, let's take a look at how it's going to benefit you. The benefits of meditation. Meditation increases your ability to concentrate and focus on the task at hand. It also boosts your capacity to make rational decisions. It will improve your ability to delay instant gratification so that you can focus on what you want in the long term. The challenges of everyday life are not going to disappear, but you will develop the ability to handle them better. Meditation gives you the ability to respond to the most tragic circumstances of life with a rational and calm outlook. If you're still feeling skeptical about meditation, there is plenty of scientific evidence highlighting the benefits of the practice. The journal PNAS published a study stating it takes approximately 7 days to start experiencing results from meditation. The study involved getting 40 undergraduate students to participate in 20 minutes of meditation training for 5 days. During this time, they were given several psychological tests, and results found... Chapter 12, Why You Should Never Try and Do Anything. One of the most helpful things you can do right now on your journey to improve self-discipline is to remove the word try from your vocabulary. This minor change will transform the way you see yourself and boost your self-esteem. The way you think is not the only thing that shapes your life. Your words have power, whether you say them out loud or in your head. They influence the way you see yourself and how far you succeed. In this chapter, you will learn how the word try can hold you back from achieving your dreams and put a limit on your self-discipline. Stop trying your best. As children, we are encouraged to try our best. Well-meaning teachers and parents tell children that as long as they try their best, the end result doesn't matter. Popular sayings such as, "At least you tried," or "It's the taking part and not the winning that's important," further reinforce this attitude. It is a comfortable sentiment because it suggests that there are always going to be other opportunities to succeed. The reality is that there are going to be times when you won't get another chance to make it right. You've got to capture that moment because you will never get it back. From this day forward, you are not going to try. You're going to do. You must be decisive and have courage in everything you say and do. As a result, you'll start to respect yourself more, and so will other people. They will regard you as a proactive winner instead of someone who does nothing because they're afraid to fail. When you've made up your mind that the only thing you can do is try instead of expecting to succeed, you are accepting that you're putting a limit on what you are capable of achieving. There are times when fate will be on your side. Chapter 13, Winner or Loser. Which one are you? If you are confused about what goals to set for yourself, start with deciding that if you don't do anything else in life, you will reach your full potential. You will find that to reach your full potential, you need a combination of self-awareness and self-discipline. Even when we're doing nothing, life never stands still. It is an ever-changing and dynamic experience, and you will only start to live your best life when your perception of life changes. Life is a training academy. We're always learning and always growing. Your education shouldn't stop because you've graduated from college or high school. When you sit still for too long, you run the risk of losing momentum. There is no opt-out clause in life. You're either practicing going in the winner's direction or the losing direction. Which direction you choose to take is up to you. Nobody can make that choice for you. In this chapter, we will cover 5 basic rules that will equip you to excel in every area of your life. Whether you want to lose some weight, find a loving relationship, or become more efficient at work, these principles will help you do so. Once you've mastered these strategies, not only will your productivity rise to new levels, your confidence and self-esteem will too. A quick reminder, there's nothing easy about success. If you don't put the work in, you will fail, no matter how much knowledge you've acquired. Know what you want. Have you ever gotten into a car and attempted to get to a destination you were unfamiliar with? You're probably thinking, why would anyone do that? You're correct. In this day and age, with all the technology we have access to, all it takes is for you to type the zip code into your mobile device. Chapter 14, Fall in Love with the Process. Once you know what goal you want to achieve, and you've developed a plan to get there, the next step is to enjoy the process. A lot of people get excited about finding their passion, setting goals, and putting a system in place. But when the reality of the amount of work that is required to achieve their goals sets in, they give up. The problem is that human beings don't like stepping outside of their comfort zone. In fact, the body is designed to operate in this way. Unless you were raised in a family where success was mandatory and you were trained from childhood to develop good habits, you'll find the process of goal setting very difficult. If you study the most successful athletes in the world, you will discover that the majority of them have been training since childhood. For example, before anyone knew who the Williams sisters were, their father started training them to become professional tennis players at the age of 3. We saw Venus win her first professional match at the age of 14. That's 11 years in training. Cristiano Ronaldo is regarded as one of the world's greatest soccer players. He started training at the age of 11. Tiger Woods has been learning to play golf since the age of 6. The point I'm trying to make is that excellence is not birthed overnight. You are not going to write out your goals and achieve them tomorrow. It's going to take some serious hard work on your part. If you are going to make the transition from setting goals to achieving them, it's essential that you learn to enjoy the process, no matter how difficult it is. Why? Because if you attempt to rely on determination and motivation to get you through, you'll give up before you've even started building momentum. In this chapter, I will teach you how to change the way you think about hard work and start enjoying the process of success. Chapter 15. How to make your negative emotions work for you and not against you. No matter how positive you are or how close you are to achieving your destiny, feelings of sadness, despair, anger, and frustration will engulf you at some point. To be human means to experience a full spectrum of emotions, and that includes the good and the bad. It is natural to want to protect ourselves from anything negative, and so when we're not feeling our best, we will attempt to shut out those feelings as quickly as possible. In this chapter, I'm going to share with you the reality that not only is it healthy to embrace your negative emotions, but when it comes to operating in your purpose and becoming more disciplined, they are extremely beneficial. As long as you have learned to accept the fact that you'll never escape suffering in this lifetime, you're ready to benefit from unpleasant emotions. Negative emotions, such as despair and sadness, are an indication that something is not quite right, and it needs to change. Don't think of your negative emotions as an inconvenience that needs to be removed from your life. Instead, view them as helpful signposts leading you in the direction of positive change. Use your negative emotions as an incentive to construct a plan of action to get you out of the mess you're in. Most of us do everything we can to avoid and ignore negative feelings and hope that they'll disappear or resolve themselves. Unfortunately, this will never happen. Let's take a look at some of the most common negative emotions and how we can channel them in the right direction. How to use anger and rage to your advantage. Many of us find it difficult to deal with feelings of anger and rage, and when we dig a little deeper, we'll find that this is because of how we were raised as children. Some of us were taught. Chapter 16, The Pareto Principle and Sturgeon's Law. Most of us have experienced that discouraging feeling when we've put in hours of work, but the project doesn't turn out the way we'd hoped. In this chapter, you will learn why it's normal to devote so much time to your work, but still feel as if you haven't gotten anywhere with it. Additionally, you will learn why accepting this truth will motivate you to develop an even greater level of self-discipline. To achieve this motivation, we will study two approaches, the Pareto Principle and Sturgeon's Law. Sturgeon's Law. Theodore Sturgeon was a science fiction author, and in 1958, he wrote an article for Venture magazine. He'd become frustrated at the way critics had labeled the science fiction genre as low quality. He argued that even though there was probably some truth in a lot of science fiction work being of a low quality genre, it's possible to say the same thing about everything else. His statement became known as Sturgeon's Law. In recent years, philosopher Daniel Dennett stated that Sturgeon's Law was one of the 7 key tools for critical thinking, which is evidence that it is still relevant for writers and academics today. The Pareto Principle. The Pareto Principle is similar. In 1896, Vilfredo Pareto, an Italian economist, published a paper highlighting the fact that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the country's people. He came to this conclusion by observing that 20% of the pea plants in his garden produced 80% of the best pea pods. This observation was later termed the law of the vital few, or the 80-20 rule. The Pareto principle has become the rule of thumb and the basis for many business guidelines, the most common one being that... Chapter 17, How to Avoid Burnout. So far, you've spent 16 chapters reading about how to build self-discipline and remain focused when you encounter circumstances and obstacles that deplete your willpower. But it is also important to understand that when you push yourself too far, you can do yourself some serious damage. In this chapter, I'm going to talk about burnout and how you can avoid it. You'll learn about the symptoms, how to recover, and why some people end up physically and emotionally destroyed because of the immense amount of pressure they place on themselves. Although it is possible to bounce back from stress and burnout, prevention is better than cure. What is burnout? Stress is a normal part of life. Whether you experience it daily, weekly, or once a year, you will experience it at some point. When your circumstances become overwhelming, it becomes difficult to think straight or do anything productive. The inability to function due to stress is referred to as brain freeze, and it typically lasts for a few minutes or sometimes a few hours. Stepping back from the problem or taking a break from work is usually all we need to get us back on track. It decreases anxiety levels and helps us regain self-control. However, when a person has completely burnt out, recovery is extremely difficult because he or she is no longer able to cope either mentally or physically with the demands of life. Burnout can reach a level where the person requires psychiatric assistance. Burnout is a physical and mental state that causes low mood, exhaustion, the inability to make decisions, and hopelessness. Anyone can suffer burnout, whether you are a CEO of a large corporation, a single mother, or a part-time employee. Conclusion. Congratulations, you've listened to the entire audiobook. You are not average. Neither are you ordinary. You're an extraordinary person. How can I say this with such confidence? Because you have achieved something that most people never accomplish. You've listened to an audiobook from start to finish. You've taken the initiative to learn about the habits required to improve your level of self-discipline. If you felt that you didn't have any discipline before you started listening to this audiobook, you can celebrate the fact that there has been a definite improvement, because it takes persistence, determination, and discipline to see something through to the end. You might be thinking, well, I only listened to a book. But I would like to remind you that it's one positive step in the right direction. Remember, willpower is like a muscle, and the more you use it, the stronger it will become. You're not going to develop the discipline of Bill Gates overnight. It's going to take some time, but you've got to start somewhere. Now that you've listened to this audiobook, it's time to take action. Take some time out, reassess your life, and decide how you're going to start this journey. Don't make life difficult and give yourself an unrealistic target. Start with adopting one habit for 5 minutes each day, or waking up half an hour earlier than you're used to. Your life is a reflection of the decisions you have made, and if you want a better future, it's essential that you start making better decisions. It is possible for you to have the life you desire, but it starts with taking responsibility for the state of your life at this present moment. Whether it's your finances, lifestyle, relationships, or your mindset, it is up to you to make the required changes to improve. The following quote fully embodies the point I'm making. You must take... Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this audiobook and, most of all, got more value from it than you had to give. It would mean a lot to me if you left an Amazon and Audible review. I will reply to all questions asked. Be sure to check out my email list, where I'm constantly adding tons of value. The best way to currently get on the list is by visiting pristinepublish.com/declutter and entering your email address. Here, I'll provide actionable information that aims to improve your enjoyment of life. I'll update you on my latest books, and I'll even send free ebooks that I think you'll find useful. Kindest regards, Daniel Walter. This has been The Power of Discipline, How to Use Self-Control and Mental Toughness to Achieve Your Goals. Written by Daniel Walter, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Daniel Walter. Production copyright by Daniel Walter. To learn more about today's author or book, please visit Amazon.com or Audible.com. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.